If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 35 this morning, asking the question again, who is this Jesus? You know, as we talk about the book of Luke, we're reminded that Luke tells us very clearly he's giving us an orderly account. That doesn't necessarily mean in chronological order. It means Luke is giving us specific themes and teachings that he wants us to know. And in chapter 7, starting in last week, he's painting a picture answering this question, who is this Jesus? And it comes to an important part in Luke chapter 7 where Jesus talks about a good friend of his, a cousin of his, who has gone before him proclaiming a message that Jesus will continue. And this individual is John the Baptist. John the Baptist asks a very important question along the lines of, who are you, Jesus? And Luke wants to make clear to us who this Jesus is. Let's start this morning just by reading Luke 7, starting in verse 18, and we'll just read through verse 20 to begin with. It says, then John's disciples told him about all these things, that is, the miracles that Jesus has been doing and the teachings. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord, asking, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men reached him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? No, you're not reading a duplicate verse. It wasn't an accident. Luke specifically asks that question twice. Are you the one who is to come? Who are you, Jesus? Are you the one who's been prophesied about for thousands of years? Are you the Messiah who Israel has been looking to? John is sitting at this point in a jail cell. He's been arrested for proclaiming the Messiah is coming. He's been arrested for speaking the truth. And now as he's sitting there, he is wondering, Jesus, are you really the one who I thought you were? Are you really the person who is promised to us? Are you the promised Messiah? You and I ask these same questions. Jesus, who are you really? Are you really who we think you are? Are you really all of the promises fulfilled that we're taught about? Who really are you? It's important to remind ourselves that in this context, when Luke is writing in the first century, around the year 20 or 30 AD, there is a specific expectation from the Old Testament of who the Messiah will be. And so it's important for us to ask the question, who were the people in Luke's time expecting? Who were they looking for in a Messiah? Who is this promised Messiah that they were seeking out? And if you're new to reading through Scripture, it's important for us to understand that the entire Old Testament points forward to a specific person, an ancestor of a king named David, who will come and save Israel. Who were the people expecting? I think that there are at least three expectations that we find, and there are certainly more than that, but there are at least three expectations we can find when asking the question, who were the people expecting? The first characteristic they were looking for in a Messiah, the one to save Israel, was a ruthless warrior. Someone who would come and squelch all the enemies of Israel. At this time, the nation of Israel is subject under the authority of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is leading all of these other nations, including Israel, and Israel is looking for someone to come in and defeat this empire. How can we get under the oppression of Rome? How can we escape the hardships we have under this government? A Messiah is coming who will certainly save us from this Roman government. He'll come in ruthless and attacking and ready to overthrow our enemies. Secondly, they were looking for someone who would be a harsh judge, someone who would condemn all those who spoke out against Israel. This goes along with the ruthless warrior. The Messiah who's coming will speak truth authoritatively. He'll be one who steps down, puts his foot down, and says, this is the way God intends it to be. You're either with me or you're against me. And then thirdly, they were looking for someone who is a faithful Israelite, someone who is true to their nation. It was a descendant of the Israelite King David. So it's someone who they know will be an Israelite. And this is going to be someone who cares more about Israel than anyone else, to reestablish Israel as this political and spiritual power in the world. The people are looking for a Messiah to come and take care of all of their earthly problems. I wonder, as we think of who the people were expecting, who are you expecting in the person of Jesus? You know, we all come to church with different expectations. We all approach God with a different understanding and a different idea of what God is or who God is. I wonder this morning, as you sit here and think about the nation of Israel and their expectations, if you have expectations of Jesus yourself. For some people, you think, who is Jesus? He's someone who makes my life easier and gives me this peace. Someone who takes care of all of my problems. Your expectation of Jesus is that if you'll trust in Him, you won't have to worry anymore. You won't have the stress of life anymore. If you just trust in this Jesus enough, everything will be made easier. And that is your expectation. Maybe you think that Jesus is someone who will just answer all of your questions. Okay, maybe life isn't easier, but at least I'll know more and I'll understand what God wants me to do. You know, just recently I had an elementary age student come up to me and ask me, how do I know what God wants me to do? So I said, well, it's very simple. Let's start with, how do you know how God speaks to you? Well, you read the Bible. Very good. So when you read the Bible, it tells you what God wants you to do. And they said, but what about what God wants me to do for like my life and decisions I make in life? I'm going, how old are you? You're an elementary age kid, you know? These are questions you and I ask. Don't we want all the answers? Right? Don't we want to know how life is going to be? If I just trust in Jesus enough, He's someone who's going to give me all of those answers. Our expectation is to have all of our questions answered in the person of Jesus Christ. Or maybe our expectation is a little harsher. And we think of God and we think of Jesus as someone who is condemning and telling us what we can't do. We look at Jesus as someone who is making rules and throwing bolts of lightning. Our expectation of God, our expectation of Jesus is one who would never, ever put up with the sin in our lives. All three of these expectations that the Israelites had, or possibly any expectations that you have, may have an inkling of truth to them, but they cannot possibly define who Jesus is. He is so much more than someone who makes life easy. As a matter of fact, we find that often following Christ is more difficult. He's so much more than someone who can give us all the answers. He's more than an encyclopedia. As a matter of fact, even better, He gives us the answers we need, not necessarily the answers we want. And He's someone who's so much more than a condemning God. He does so much more than just judge sin. As a matter of fact, we find that this Jesus Christ actually has come to forgive sins. So this morning, as we ask the question, who is this Jesus, this promised Messiah, let's think about the expectations we have of God. And let's set those aside for just a moment. Let's put those out of our mind and just look at Luke 7, at who Jesus really is. For starters, as Luke is revealing this promised Messiah, he tells us that Jesus' actions reveal His compassion. If you're taking notes in your bulletin, there's some fill-in-the-blanks, and you can write this down. Jesus' actions reveal His compassion. Luke begins by defining who this promised Messiah is by having an account of Jesus say what He has done. Look with me in verses 21 through 23. At that time, Jesus healed many people of diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits, and He granted sight to many blind people. So the first thing that Luke does to the question, are you the promised Messiah, is remind us of what Jesus has done. Let's continue reading. He, Jesus, replied to them, "Go and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor are told the good news, and blessed is the one who isn't offended by me." Jesus says, go back and tell John all the things I have done. And in doing so, remind him that I am a compassionate and loving God. This last verse, verse 23, Jesus says, blessed is the one who isn't offended by me. There were so many people who were angry with Jesus for performing these miracles. They were so upset that he would dare to heal those who they didn't deem worthy to be healed. And Jesus says, my compassion goes so much farther than your expectations. You are blessed if you don't look at my ministry harshly, if you understand the compassion I have. So we see Jesus as a compassionate individual, as someone who has come not just caring about people, but acting on that care. Our expectations of Jesus are an understanding that he loves us unconditionally. And it's not just that he has emotions for us, but he has acted on our behalf. How amazing is it that Jesus Christ has compassion and love for people, so much so that he would put his life on the line and do anything to heal compassionately. Secondly, Jesus wants us to know that he is a messenger and he has a specific message. Jesus' prophet, that is John the Baptist, actually revealed this message. And so when Luke is telling us who Jesus is, he reminds us of John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist is pointing us to the specific message that Jesus has. There's something specific God wants us to know through Jesus Christ, and he uses John the Baptist to tell us. Look with me in verses 24 through 30. After John's messengers left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. He says, what did you go into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying by the wind? This is a rhetorical question. Did you go out to see John as someone who is just something common that you would find anywhere else, who can easily be blown anywhere? Of course, the answer is no. That was not the personality of John the Baptist, to be swayed in any way. He continues, what did you go to see? A man dressed in soft clothes? This is kind of a play on words. John dressed himself in camel skin, which was not necessarily a normal way to dress yourself. Instead of being dressed in wool or something soft, he was dressed in this coarse fabric. He was different and he stood out. Jesus is asking another rhetorical question. Were you going and looking for something ordinary? Because John certainly was not that. That's why Jesus says, see, those who are splendidly dressed and live in luxury are in royal palaces. You didn't go out to find someone living in luxury, did you? In soft clothing. He says, what did you go and see? A prophet? And then he answers, yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written. See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people, including the tax collectors, heard this. They acknowledged God's way of righteousness because they had been baptized with John's baptism. These are individuals who had followed John, now heard Jesus and said, their messages line up. There's a message that is for the ordinary person. It is repentance and baptism. And they believe. But, verse 30, since the Pharisees and experts in the law had not been baptized by John, by him, they rejected the plan of God for themselves. Jesus wants us to know there is a prophet that has proclaimed a message of repentance. And if we're going to know who Jesus is, we have to understand the message of John, because it is also the message of Christ. That message is, there is salvation through repentance. Confession of sin leads to an acknowledgement of Christ, which brings about our salvation. Our expectations are not met if we think of Jesus as anything other than someone compassionately loving, acting, and bringing repentance. It's important for us to realize that Jesus was not a harsh judge. He was a graceful forgiver. He was a gracious lover of even the most sinful of people. This is the message that John proclaimed and the message that Jesus says, I'm continuing on. John was wondering, Jesus, are you the one promised, or is everything I've been preaching going against what you're trying to teach? And Jesus says, I'm carrying on John and his followers. I'm carrying on that message of repentance and forgiveness. And then thirdly, Luke tells us that Jesus' company revealed his audience. The people who Jesus chose to hang out with showed who this message was for. This message of active compassion. This message that was proclaimed by John the Baptist is now proclaimed to a specific people, but it was not the people that the Israelites had hoped for. Let's look in Luke 7, verses 31 through 35. To what then should I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? This is just a question, Jesus saying, who are the people who I see gathered around here today? What is my culture like? It says, they are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to each other. We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a lament, but you didn't weep. Jesus says, I'm looking out at the crowd and you're like kids saying, do a song and dance for me. Come and be what I want you to be. Meet my expectations. If I sing, you dance. If I sing a sad song, a lament, you should cry. Be what I want you to be. Jesus says, this is who the people are expecting. For John the Baptist, he says, did not come eating bread or drinking wine. And you say he is a demon. Now listen to the irony that Jesus is pointing out here. He says, you people who are listening are expecting something specific. And John the Baptist didn't meet your specific criteria. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't drink. He was fasting. He was living in filth, in wilderness. He was weird and odd, and you called him a demon. He did not meet your expectations. So then in verse 34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus says, I was the opposite of how John the Baptist lived. He wouldn't eat or drink, and I eat and drink all the time. Jesus was Baptist, by the way. You know that because he ate so much, right? He's always eating and having a feast. Jesus says, you couldn't even allow me to meet your expectations. And what's worse, Jesus said, listen to the company I was with. I was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That wasn't good enough for the people. That wasn't their expectation. Jesus then gives us this last phrase. He says, yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. What he means by that is people who are wise, their fruit will show. It will produce something. People who can see who Jesus really is will reflect the message of Jesus Christ. It's strange to me that our expectation of Jesus would be to fit a certain mold and speak to a certain people. And it's not just the Israelites who wanted only Israel to be saved. It's Baptists or whatever denomination you may align yourself with. It's even evangelicals or specifically Christians who think my way. It's people of a certain political leaning, maybe people of a certain race or cultural background. This is who Jesus is to me. And yet Jesus' company was one that was kept with tax collectors and sinners and those who were gluttons and those who fasted. And his company was everyone. His audience was anyone who understood their need for the message of repentance. His desire was to give compassionate, active love to anyone who would come and confess their sins. And we think who Jesus is and we put him in a box and try to label him as being someone who is just judgmental or full of condemnation, or maybe someone who is quite the opposite, so loving that he should give us whatever we want and we should always feel good, or maybe there's some other expectation you have. And Luke wants us to know through this story of Jesus and John the Baptist that Jesus' desire is to bring about repentance. And he will act on that desire and that compassion with everything that he has. What's more beautiful is that message is for everyone who would listen. So this morning, I don't know what your expectations of Jesus is. I don't know what you come to church assuming God to be. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is a person who came to earth for the purpose of bringing salvation. He did that through his death and burial and resurrection on the cross, so that everyone who acknowledges that they need a Savior could come to him and be forgiven. It wasn't that Jesus just loved you, it's that Jesus died for you. It wasn't just that Jesus felt sorry for your condition. Jesus did something about it on the cross. The message that John the Baptist proclaimed is the same message that Jesus proclaimed. That if you will seek him to forgive your sins, if you will follow him to lead your life, you will have salvation. If you add to that expectation, then you're going to be really disappointed. If you think for a moment that Jesus can now reveal every answer that you'll ever ask, you're going to fall away from the faith. If you expect that your life will be easy from that moment on, you're adding to what Jesus had come to do. But if you can acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior and Lord, that he offers forgiveness and repentance, you have an eternal promise that he will save you and call you to him. You know, what I told that elementary age student was that we don't have all the answers to all our questions. But Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about worrying about what we eat and what we drink and what we wear and all of the worries of life. What am I supposed to do? And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Know what the word of God says and know how you're supposed to live today. He says, and all these things will be added to you. Your salvation gives us someone who we can trust in for today, in the moment, right here and right now. Our expectation is not that God would give us more than that. He knows we couldn't handle. Our expectation certainly is not an understanding that God gives us less than that. He completely saves. So right here and right now, do we trust in this promised Messiah? Do we trust that he is the one who offers forgiveness if we will turn from our sins and confess him? And do we believe his promise that it is for all people and all time today? Let's pray together. Father, I'm grateful for who you are as the promised Messiah. Lord, as John the Baptist proclaimed this message of repentance, Lord, it's the same message you proclaim in your word. Lord, to repent is simply to turn away from the direction we're living, the sin in our lives, to confess you as Savior, forgiver of our sins, and Lord, the guide of our lives. Lord, we don't add any other expectations this morning, other than to know that you have what's best in store for us. So, Lord, we confess our sins to you, and we trust you to lead us and guide us today in this moment. It's in your name we pray. Amen.